And it affects us when we don't have enough time of fellowship with God's people. It does, it does. It is awesome to be in the house today, and I am not feeling very summery. It was cold when I got up this morning, and I guess that's why I, you know, put black on. Maybe I wanted to absorb some more warmth. I am not sure. I must say that mentally prepping for this lesson, I thought about arriving looking very differently than I do at the moment. And then I thought, well, I don't know if that would make a difference or not. Today we are talking about being a part of the body in that we are his hands. And what it means to be God's hands in our world today. And hopefully you had a chance to look the lesson over. Kind of trailing off of last week's lesson of looking for the overlooked. And you could say that this group that we're talking about and being the hands of the Lord is another group of overlooked, but way beyond what you could think of maybe as being overlooked. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful that your word helps us to know and understand what we need to do to be like you, to do what you would do, what your word tells us you did when you were on this earth. And because we are you right now on this earth, the representation of you, Lord, help us to do the things that you would do in our circumstances and in our situations. And we give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The hands of Jesus. We can read about I'm not going to read these, but we can read about in Romans chapter 12 that we are a part of body. We're one body, and there are many verses in Scripture that say that we are one body, and that we are one body with Him, and we are one body together. And the Corinthians talks about how that in 1 Corinthians 6 talks about being different parts of the body, and it helps us, and we need to know the part of the body that we are. It's so important to understand your purpose in the body of Christ. You can feel so unfulfilled and feel like you don't have a purpose if you have not found your purpose in the body. You may say, oh, I want to do this, and it doesn't fit. But you get your mind so set on, I have to do this to be something, to be somebody. I have to do this in the body of Christ, or I have to do this in the church. And if it's not what he created us to be, we're frustrated constantly. And there's been a lot of people throughout the years in the body of Christ that were unhappy because they were moved into something that didn't fit. Or they felt like if they didn't do this, they weren't doing anything. But that's not true. And our lesson today, talking about the hands of Jesus, and that he wants us to know and understand what our place is in the body. But the hands of Jesus touch things that we may find it hard to do. And if you were able to look at the lesson, you know that the lesson text is talking about the lepers and leprous and those that were outcast. You can read quite a bit. I did quite a bit of research on leprosy in Scripture, and then I read about it a little bit in a Google search to see what more modern things were talking about leprosy. But in Scripture, you can find leprosy in Exodus, where Moses is being called. He went to the burning bush, and God told him to take off his shoes. He's on holy ground. So you know what I'm talking about here. That he was being proven to him that he can do this. Because God wanted him to go and be the deliverer of his people out of Egypt. And he didn't feel capable. And so at one point in Exodus, Moses was told to put his hand inside his cloak, and he pulled it out, and it was full of leprosy. It was totally white. And then God said, put it back in, and he pulled it back out, and it was. So God used leprosy to prove something to Moses. And then you move into Numbers and several other instances that I'll mention. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, we have dissension in the family. And Moses was appointed by God to be the leader. And Miriam and Aaron, his older siblings, said, who are you? And Miriam just started throwing a fit. And God said, that's enough. Now, I know I'm paraphrasing, but God said, that's enough. I said, Moses. And she was stricken with leprosy and was booted out of the camp. And Moses fell on his face before God and intervened. Lord, I don't think she really meant it. It's okay, I understand. I don't know what Moses said to Aaron, but that was his sister. And she was healed of her leprosy and went on to be, it was toward the end of her life that happened. But then the one event in the Old Testament, where leprosy was healed was for a man who was a high official in the military in Syria. I believe it was Syria. I guess I didn't read close Samaria. No, it was. I believe it was Syria, but I don't know. Wherever he wasn't Jewish. He wasn't a part of Judah. And the country that he belonged to had taken captive a little girl out of Judah or Israel, and she was telling the wife, you know, if my master Naaman would go, then he could be healed. Because there's a God in Israel. Now there's a whole gamut of ways you could go with that. But Naaman came and, albeit reluctantly, did listen to the man of God. And it changed his entire life. And that's the only healing from leprosy that we see in the Old Testament. Naaman? Yes. And so there's a difference in perspective to leprosy from the Jewish nation to the other nations, because Naaman was a high official in his country. And he had daily activities because he talked about and he told the man of God that, please forgive me, but I have to walk in to the pagan temple to help my master, his boss, into worship. And I have to bow down. But please know that from this day on, I will never bow again to that God. But I have to do my job. And so, but he had been doing that job as a leper. So the foreign countries around didn't have the same approach to leprosy that the Israelites did. But if you were a leper, oh, read Leviticus 13 and 14. And it's, this is leprous and that's leprous, and this is how you know, and this is how it's you know, it's been healed, or, oh, if you're totally covered, then you're pronounced clean. I didn't get that at all. I mean, seriously, if your whole body's involved, then you're good. I guess you're not contagious anymore. I don't understand that. But leprosy was something, it caused you to be on the outside. And we know that leprosy in the New Testament is referred to as a likeness to sin. And so if you were a leper and you were a part of the Jewish nation, whether Old Testament or New Testament, you had to separate yourself and be on the outside of the camp, on the outside of those that were accepted. And you had to cover your face and announce yourself that, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Don't come anywhere near me, I'm unclean. And so God was giving us a picture of what it felt like to be under that type of situation. But God was also in mercy protecting his people, because they didn't know what the cause was, but they did know, God knew that it was contagious and man hadn't developed a cure. Now, science, down through time and in modern history, we have a cure for leprosy. And leprosy is still existent, but it is not as prevalent. And it's not the mystery that it was. But God changes our lives. And he wants to change the lives of people that we may feel the way that the Israelites felt about lepers. There are very few lepers in the United States these days. More in other countries. But there are people in our society and other societies around us that we, if we are not careful, we'll treat like Israel treated lepers. Aaron, can you put that picture up? How would you feel? How would you feel if you were this person, an outcast, someone who is overlooked? Someone, if is looked at, they're looked at in pity. And then how would we react presented this scenario? What would we do? Thank you, Aaron. I hesitated to show this, but I just decided to go ahead and do it anyway. Because this is not the only way that we could be looked at as an outcast or different. We would say, oh, I don't know. I would be maybe afraid of homelessness. To me, that was a picture of homelessness. I might be afraid of someone who was homeless, but yet I don't understand the circumstances that put them in that situation. They could have, in their life, been someone really important. And circumstances put them in that situation. But if we're looking at and thinking of things about this leprosy and the conditions that cause someone to be on the outside, to not be accepted. If we look at those things and realize that we need to be the hands of Jesus. And in our lesson text in Mark chapter 1, Jesus did what others would not. I want to start with verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt. Stop right there. Whoever this leper was had heard enough about Jesus that he knew Jesus could do something for him. But he also, by implication of what it says right there in the text, by implication, he knew that not everyone that came to Jesus was healed. If thou wilt, if you decide to do this, let me get in the right place here. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you choose to, Jesus, I know you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Oh my goodness. In his world right then, that was horrible. No one else around him would have done this. Even this leper's family members would not have done this. And this is what he wants us to do. We are his hands. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. He's choosing to. I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And then he straightly charged him away, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. Do you understand why Jesus said those? He told so many people. Pastor, do you understand why he told people not to say anything? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That does make sense. Thank you. So yes, the timing wasn't right. Maybe it very similar to the first miracle that he performed, When his mother walked up to him and said, hey, just do whatever he tells you to do. And he looks at her and says, it's not my time. I'm not supposed to do this. What are you doing to me? I don't know. I doubt he spoke back to his mother. He just did what he was told to do. We need to do what God tells us to do. And when we are presented, think of the people that we may feel, I want to keep this person at arm's length about. And your perspective, that's another reason why I was hesitant to show that picture, because it puts just one vein in our mind. But that's not true. All kinds of people can be put at arm's length and make us hesitant to touch their lives, to give into their lives, to have compassion on their lives. I don't know the testimonies that are sitting here. I don't understand all of them. I've not heard all of the testimonies that are here in this sanctuary with me right now, and those that will watch online or are watching online. I don't know all of the testimonies that are sitting here. But many of us could have been or were on the outside. And not welcomed in to be a part. But one day, someone had compassion on you, on me. I can tell you, just to talk about myself, which I don't like to do very often, but I was not someone that you would have picked out. I was a mess. But God saw something. And there were people that reached out to me and loved on me so that I could feel the love of Christ. And I know that that exists in so many of our lives. And now God wants us to turn that around and give the same thing that we received to those that are around us. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us be who you want us to be. Looking back, 2 Kings in chapter 5, when Naaman reluctantly gave in and went and dunked himself in the Jordan River after complaining that, oh, that muddy old river. I could have done this at home. The rivers are cleaner there. But Naaman did dunk himself in the river 7 times as the man of God spoke. And then gave gifts to the man of God that the man of God turned away. And his servant Gehazi was just, look at that stuff. And he ran after Naaman and said, basically told a lie. He said, we just had two visitors come in and we need to give them something. And he listed off some things that he wanted. And then he went and hid them. And he walked in to his master. And Elisha spoke to him and said, what'd you do? Why were you gone? Because the Lord had told him what happened. And he said, the rest of your life, you're going to walk away with leprosy. And not only you, but your family is going to suffer the consequences. In that case, also, leprosy was used as a punishment. And that in itself shows us that in our lives, if we're not careful, our lives could be punished because of choices that we make. Not to receive leprosy like that leprosy, but circumstances can change in our lives if we turn our backs on God and we refuse those things that are needful and refuse the direction that God gives us. But another example, God used lepers to save the nation. They were on the outside of the camp. 2 Kings chapter 7. And inside the city, they were starving to death. And they said, well, we can die here, or we can go get killed over there. Over there would have been less painful, probably, and quicker in their minds. Let's just get this over with. And they went, and God created a miracle. And the enemy heard a great multitude coming. And it was just four lepers that probably couldn't walk very well, because that's what leprosy did. It took away parts of the body, basically. Yeah, I won't get into gory details. But you became maimed from leprosy. And what does sin do to us? It maims us. Not maybe visibly, as in leprosy, but it can maim the inside of us. But those lepers, they went, and then they came back and told the guard at the gate, this is what there is there. And the city was saved. God can use anyone he chooses. God can use anyone he chooses, and he wants us to be his hands. Mary Magdalene was one that was blessed beyond measure. She was not a leper, as in this lesson, but she was bound in sin. And she was delivered from seven demons. That was one of the highest numbers of demon deliverances that's recorded in Scripture. There was the man among the tombs that had a legion, but I think that that might be the only number higher of those that were delivered of demons. And her name was mentioned mentioned more than most of the disciples in Scripture. She's talked about in all four Gospels. She was there at the crucifixion. She was there at the grave. And she was there at some point by herself when she spoke to a gardener that she didn't recognize as Jesus. And what she was able to give after she had received was amazing. She had been delivered from great bondage by Jesus in an undisclosed manner, because her deliverance isn't recorded. She just shows up in Scripture as the woman that was delivered of seven demons. And so God wants us to reach out and be His hands. I know that I've said that over and over and over, but it's not always easy to be the hand of God. It's not easy to sit down beside someone who doesn't smell the greatest or look the greatest and minister to them. It's not easy to visit someone who is sick and in need in the hospital. It's not easy to reach out and minister to someone who has mistreated you. It's not easy to reach out and minister to someone who has offended you, or their actions just offend you. It's not easy to reach out and touch a life of someone that is so far separated from you, I hesitate to say that they're wealthy or they're politicians or they're this or they're that, because it's our perspective that puts them in a class that we might not want to reach for. Because the bondage of leprosy, quote unquote, leprosy, is so diverse that we have a difficult time recognizing it everywhere. But we need to realize that those people that we hold at arm's length, for whatever reason, may be the people that God wants us to reach out and touch. Because He sees inside. He knows the condition of the heart. I know that I was not someone that anybody would have been drawn to. Sitting on the grass in front of my house. Dirty, grungy little kid. That didn't look anything like I do today. Hardly recognizable as a girl, as a matter of fact. But someone touched my life, and someone touched your life. And God loves everyone. And his hand reached and touched all those that needed him. Think about all that were touched that could not have been and were not allowed to be a part of worship in the time of Jesus. If you were maimed, or you were crippled, you had a disfigurement, you didn't have enough to buy your way into the temple. All of those things kept you out of the house of worship. But Jesus turned their philosophy on its head and said, no, that isn't right. That lame man that just a few months, maybe a year later when Peter and John walked by, that was an older man. He had been at that gate just outside the house of God. Now, I don't know why Jesus didn't heal him except for it needed to be an event in the book of Acts. But he had been there every time the disciples went to the temple. That man was there. And he was not allowed in. But one day was the right day. When Peter reached down and said, such as I have, give I unto thee. And he arose and he walked. And then he could go in and tell everybody what God had just done for him. Yes, it got the disciples in trouble, but they didn't seem to mind. They got themselves in a lot of trouble. And when we are the hand of Jesus, we just might get ourselves in some trouble. Maybe not with the law, although that's possible. But we could get ourselves in trouble with our family, the society around us. Really? You did what? All of the reactions that you could get by doing what Jesus wants you to do could be huge, huge reactions that you could get. And it could make us wonder, Jesus, am I really doing? Am I really doing what you want me to do? Because I don't like being in trouble. I don't like people looking at me or pushing me away now because of this. I just want to do what you want me to do. I want to reach those that you want me to reach. Lord, help us, Jesus. We could go on and talk about things, but it's so important to know our purpose and reach those that God puts us around and with. And let's pray. Got a couple minutes, and we're a couple minutes early. But let's pray that we can be sensitive to the Lord and reach those that God puts in front of us. Even if it's not someone that we would be drawn to. And be careful that we are not over. In our world today, there's so much put in front of us that draws our compassion that after a while we just kind of get calloused and we don't pay attention. Because we emotionally can't handle it. But that keeps us from being the hands of Jesus at the times that he wants us to be his hands and reach out to those that need him. And dare I say, those that need something could be right among us. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to just be sensitive to you and not so sensitive to what this world would push at us and say, this is what we need to have compassion for. This is what we need to care about. But Lord, help us to care about what you care about. Lord, continually you impress upon my mind that I need to have eyes that see and ears that hear. Lord, let me see with your eyes and hear with your ears that I could be sensitive to the needs around me and meet each and every one, even the ones that I'm not comfortable with. Lord, give me the grace needed to reach them also. Because you see their hearts. You saw my heart one day. You saw our hearts one day. Lord, I pray that we would be able to see and see the hearts of those that are around us. And I give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And next week, oh my, you're going to get into another area of those that were outcast. But I'm going to leave that to Sister Sharon. Lord Jesus, thank you. And thank you.